Exalt you, fall down at your throne. We are on the last day of 2017. Tomorrow it's a new year which is going to start. And the tendency is this time of the year to look back. We actually done it last week as a congregation. We had a few people giving testimonies of what God has done in their life during the year. But looking forward to 2018, we always make plans. We always have got ideas what we're going to do, and we've got certain promises that we make to ourselves. A lot of them have got to do with weight, what I've apparently heard, but I'm not going to talk about it. I haven't got a problem with it, so I don't have to talk about it. But people are doing that, and they make a plan, and they start. But we do not have to make a plan, because God has got a plan for us. And that He's saying to us in Jeremiah 29, verses 11, "For I know the plans and the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being, and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And then if you take a look at the word plan, what God is using over there, it's like fabricated, it's like weaving together. So it's not an isolated pattern, but there are things coming together. He's got a plan for us. We make our own plans, but we don't have to make our own plans. God has got a plan for us. The world is telling us that we must make plans. There are so many books in America that you can buy and you can read, and it will tell you you've got to do it. There are even certain slogans as well which will say, "Plan your work and work your plan." And then you've got another one as well which is also very nice: "By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail." It sounds so good and it sounds so logic that we've got to do things like that. But that's what the world is telling us. And a lot of times is, yes, even ourselves, as Christians, we sometimes make a plan, we put our plan ready, and then we say, "God, come, and please bless this plan for me, because this is my plan. Come, and bless it, and then it will come right with me." It's a little bit different. We've got to go to God and ask Him for His plan, what He's got for our life. Because God is interested in us. From the day that He started the world, that He created, He's interested in us. He's interested in each and every one of us. And He's calling each and every one of us His daughter and His son. And He wants to be with His creation. He also created man, and if we read in Genesis 2, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." All the other stuff, like the trees and so on, God spoke and it was created. We human beings have been put together. And if you take a look again at the word, what has been used over there, formed, it's like a potter. So you've got something which hasn't got any form. And then God makes something beautiful of it. And each and every one of us, all beautiful, and each and every one of us, God loves us because we are all made to His image. And God wants to be with us forever and ever. That's what His interest is. But God created Adam and Eve. They made the decision. They made their own plan without asking God's plan. And that relationship was destroyed. But if we take the Bible and then we go through it, then continuously we can read, God wants to restore. He wants to restore that relationship. He wants to come back to us. He wants us to come closer to Him. Continuously He's talking about it. He's got plans for us. Come. And I'll show you. And that's what we can see right through the whole Bible. Now I'm going to invite you to have a look at a few of them, three of them where God was speaking and where He had a certain plan and where He gave a certain instruction. And there are going to be certain typical things going along with it as well, which are maybe going to help you. Because I believe that this afternoon there are certain people who are going to pick up something from this and say, yes, that's typically my case. First one, what I would like you to invite you to is Abraham. When I was preparing the sermon, I read actually a very nice story about Abraham. It is not quite sure how you actually call it, but the Jewish people, they tell a story to us, they tell it through them, but it's never actually written down, but it is a story that apparently Abraham, not his Abraham, because he wasn't Abraham yet at that time, his father was a merchant in idols, so he was selling idols. But Abraham knew from youth already that God created existence. And he was searching for him. He was seeking God's face. And then one day, his father went out of the shop, and Abraham had to look after the shop. Then he took a hammer, and he smashed all the idols over there, but he only left one still intact. It was the biggest one. Then he put the hammer in the hand of the biggest one. And then his dad came back, and his dad said, "What happened over here?" He said, "No, they had a fight." And then his dad said, "But they haven't got any power, and they are dead, they are not alive." And then Abraham asked him, "Why are you selling them? Why are you dealing with them?" So that's a little bit of a story about Abraham, which is actually so beautiful because it's happening. If we take a look around, if we take a look at even here in the Netherlands, those items what we see them in shops and so on and so on. People give value to it. It's just a piece of stone. So the next time, if you can, when you knock on the don't tell me I told you, but you can do it. God is coming to Abraham, Genesis 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." And then he says, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering, as one on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took the two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which is called Tovah. One thing what I would like to show you over here, what is Abraham doing? He rose early in the morning. He took urgency with it. He didn't first have a family gathering or a democratic voice of a vote. Should we listen to God's voice or should we listen to God's voice? He saw the urgency of it. And I feel this afternoon there's somebody over here who has got a calling from the Lord. Do not wait. See the urgency of it. Early the next morning. For me, it's not a problem. My wife has got a little bit of a problem with it to stand up early in the morning. I think there are more people over here, but it doesn't matter. But I just want to show you the urgency. It's not that Abraham is putting it on a back burner and said, "God, wait a minute. That's, you promised I was going to get a whole nation, and now my only son, you want me to offer it? How does it work?" And a lot of questions, and tell me before I'm going to obey, obedience. It's just doing the Lord is telling me to do. Next one is Joshua. Joshua, sometimes I think the same as Moses, if you've got a whole nation of Israelites behind you, of a million plus, you've got to go with them through the desert. You've got to go through first Moses through the Red Sea and then Joshua through the Jordan. Guys must have had difficult. Must have had it very difficult with all those people behind them. But over here, Joshua is getting the instruction to go seven times around Jericho. He's been around the first time, and now Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram horns, which are shofars, before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew the trumpet, and the armed men went before him. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And so they did it for 6 days. What's so beautiful for me is, if any person is getting an instruction to take a whole group of people, walk around the town for 7 times, they'll say, "Okay, how are you willing to conquer that town? It has got to be by sword, it has got to be done something else." Joshua is taking God's instructions seriously. And he's doing it exactly. He's not telling God, "Come on, 7 times, probably do it 3 times. I've got to get everything, all those people in order. I've got to get them around the town." It's, you know, it's quite a big tall order when you're asking me to do it. No, he's doing it. And what I feel over here, what the Lord is telling me, and Joshua over here, is he's got to have perseverance. He's got to do it again. And he's got to do exactly what the Lord is telling him to do. Even he's got to do maybe a few times, which doesn't make sense. But we've got to do it. And again, I feel that there's somebody over here today that the Lord is telling you, he's giving you certain instructions each and every time the same. And you cannot actually understand why. Just do it. Just be obedient. Just do what the Lord is telling you to do. And then the last group that I would like to have a look at is the apostles. We're not quite sure how many there were. But the apostles had a little bit of a problem with the highest priest. And then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. So they've been put into jail. I know that some people are sleeping in jail as well, but that's another jail, I think. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison door and brought them out and said, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard it, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. What these people are doing is, again, obedient. They're all in jail. Now, if you're in jail in the middle of the night, it's dark, it's uncomfortable. And then an angel is coming, and he's actually repeating the Great Commission. Go and stand in the temple and speak. Actually, a repeat of what Jesus has been saying to the disciples as well. And they go. Because what the angel was saying to them was more important is what the high priest was telling them to do. They could see the difference. They had that relationship with God. They knew this was more important. So it doesn't make sense. It's also not that they say to the angel, "You know what, if we're going to stand there, they immediately will see us and they'll put us in jail again and we've got trouble and it's the high priest." No. This is the instruction and we do it. Because that is the Lord telling us that we've got to do it. And here we can see if it is now with Moses or with Abraham or if it is with Joshua or with the apostles, they got instructions that they were obedient. They were doing what the Lord was telling them to do. And how could they receive that plan? How could they receive instruction from the Lord? The first logical thing is you've got to have a relationship. If you haven't got a relationship with somebody, then you cannot receive a message. Me and my wife, we send messages to each other. We met as a sender and a receiver. That's the same with God. God is sending messages to us. We receive it. We send messages back. We are in communication. That's what we've got to have. If we're not having a relationship with God, we cannot receive instructions. We cannot find out what actually God's plan is. And we also have got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it means that we are subject to the Spirit. And it means that we are completely obedient to the Holy Spirit, that we're going to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. The reason that me and my wife are over here as well is being also obedient to the Holy Spirit, speaking to us, telling to come over here, to start an English-speaking church in a Dutch country under the Shofar banner. And we're doing it. And we're enjoying it. It's awesome. Because it gives you such a lot of satisfaction if you get an instruction. By just doing the instruction, you don't have to worry about it. You know what to say? It's God's problem. But then continuously can go and hear what is on God's heart. That's what we are doing on the Tuesday as well, when we're praying together as intercessors and find out what is on God's heart for Shofar Utrecht. Now you must probably ask me the question, okay? That's now Abraham, that's now Joshua, and those are now the apostles. How can I hear about God's plan? How can I unhear this message? Must I send my email address or my phone number, or how is God going to communicate with me? First of all, we've got to have a relationship with God. We've got to accept God as the creator of heaven and earth. That Jesus died for our sins. We've got to repent of it. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we are ready for that relationship that we can receive. Jesus and John the Baptist, both of them, when they started preaching, they said, "Repent. kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is near. And Peter exactly said the same, repent. So we've got to repent. We've got to turn around. We've got to turn around from what we basically are doing, walking away from God. But if I walk away from my wife, I also cannot hear the messages what she's saying to me. But I've got to turn my face to her, and then I can receive what she's saying to me. It's the same with God. We've got to face God. Then we can receive what he's telling us to do. The next one what we've got to do is we've got to follow Jesus. We are Christians. We are followers of Christ. We've got to imitate Christ. We've got to have a look and see what God, what Jesus is doing, and we've got to do exactly the same. And we can do exactly the same. And he said we can have more is what he has been doing. And in Luke 9, then Jesus said to them, to people around him, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. There are three things we've got to do over there. We've got to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and we've got to follow Jesus. Deny ourselves means that there's nothing from us anymore. We are not important anymore. God, Jesus is the most important in our lives. That's how we deny ourselves. We've got to take up the cross daily. We've got to surrender to God on a daily basis. Not once a week on a Sunday, or maybe twice a week if I go to a small group, or maybe come together with some people. No. Daily. 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 Each and every day. It's part of that. That we can follow, and then we can follow Jesus as our example. The next one is we've got to humble ourselves. For me as a tall person, it's difficult to humble myself to bend my knees. It's quite a distance, that's about half an hour. It's beautiful what Jesus is telling over there. And at the time the disciples came to Jesus and said, who is then the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called the little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But if we are adults around here, and if Johanna, how old is she?
Six.
She's 6 years, and if she's going to stand in between us, she's going to feel very small. But length is concerned, but also if we take a look at the edges of us around us, she's really going to, I should say, humble herself. She's not going to jump around and say, I'm Johanna, and I will tell you this. No, she will humble herself. And this is what we've got to do as well. The two things, we've got to be converted, we've got to turn around, and we've got to become like a child. Because the world is telling us that we must tell other people how great we are, how good we are. Sometimes it's very interesting to read the CVs of different people when they apply for a job. They've got such a lot of qualifications, and they are so good. If the people sit in front of you, and you've got an interview with them, and you see the way this guy is making much more of himself than what he actually is. That's what the world is telling us. The Bible is telling us. We must tell other people how great God is. We are not great. But the God we know and we serve, he is great. The two examples that I also can tell about that humbling, you know, about the gate, which is a small gate, but the big gate is closed in Jerusalem, and through the small gate, the eye of the needle, you can go through with your camel. But you've got to take all the luggage off, and the camel has got to go on his knees. So it's really humbling, and then you can enter. And the other story, which I also read, which is for me actually so awesome, so beautiful, is Naaman. He was a ruler over the army. He was a commander, so he had a whole army underneath him. So if you had a look at the outside of it, there must be stars everywhere, and I don't know how many, and this and that, and all that. But underneath it, he had leprosy. So he could have anything on the outside, And he knew that. And then he heard from a Jewish girl that there was life, that he could go to Eliza and then ask to be healed. And then he went over there. But being a commander, he thought, this Eliza is not going to come out and maybe ask him in for coffee and tea and sit and tell him the whole thing and pray for him and things like that. No. The messenger is coming outside, telling him to wash him 7 times in Jordan. Is now really got angry. He's a commander of an army. And now this is the type of treatment that he's getting. But then the people around him, they said, why don't you do it? 7 times in Jordan. Wash yourself. And then he has to humble himself. And he humbles himself. And then you can see, we humble ourselves, what blessings are coming along with it. The evangelist Moody also says, in our walk with Jesus, we always think that we're going up in steps, that we go higher. And as we're going higher, we get more blessings. But Moody is saying the blessings are on the lowest shelf in the cupboard. And if we're on our knees, then we can see the blessings. It's not that we've got to grow to see the blessings, but we've got to be on our knees, and then we can see the blessings. Next one is the fear of the Lord and the blessings. And the fear of the Lord is not being afraid, but it's standing in awe of who God is, that we fear Him, and that we've got that reference for Him. That we can just stand in, should I say, stand in awe for Him, how big and how great He is. Because fear and faith is totally the opposite. We've got to fear the Lord. And it's not a fear where we would say that we are afraid of Him. We're not afraid of God the Father. He wants us to be sure. Luke 22, it also says that we can see over there the godly fear that Jesus is using over there when he is showing over there when he is praying. And he, which is Jesus, then was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus, Father of the Trinity, going on his knees and praying to the Father. That's the example that we've got. Who are we then that we can stand? We've got to be on our knees. So when I got this title as well, when I was busy with it, and also the new people arriving on of you on Thursday evening and Friday, spending time, also on Saturday, that kneeling came through continuously. Because for me, so awesome how it actually links up. Because this is how we get access to the Father on our knees. Humble ourselves. Give Him all the glory and honor. In Proverbs and in Psalms, we get quite a few times that Solomon and David are talking about the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 19, it says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. The fear of the Lord leads to life. And he who has it will abide in satisfaction. And he will not be visited with evil. And an evil is actually that you will not be visited by trouble, you will not be visited by sorrow, you will not be visited by worse things. That's what's built in that word evil. Proverbs 23. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Continuously, the fear of the Lord has got to be in us. We show that fear we've got for the Lord. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. And in David, Psalm 34, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So beautiful. David is playing much better guitar and singing much better than what you do. But then David is asking the people to come to him. Children, he says, let me teach you. Not about the music, not about the songs, but about the fear of the Lord, because that was much, much more important. So, much, much more important. That's what the songs and what the music instruments are. last one is on our knees. And out of a personal experience, I can say it happened with me as well. It was a few years back that I also started to go on my knees before God. Before that, I was too stubborn. I didn't want to go on my knees. And then once I started going on my knees, I could hear God's plan. I could hear what was His plan. I could communicate with Him. I could receive. I could ask Him questions. And He would tell me. I could laugh. I could cry. I could lie. I could be on my knees. I could be on my back. I could be singing. I could be all doing all type of things. That's what Jesus did. He went just a little bit further on His own. I was on my own. I could do it. I could be whoever I thought I had to be at that time for God. And that's the most beautiful thing that I'm appreciating in life. To communicate with God. To hear from God what is on His heart. What He wants to share with me. What are His plans? Because He's telling us, like at the beginning, what is God's plan for us? And what more do we want to know? We want to know what is God's plan. How does God want to use us to get His kingdom on this earth? And we can do a lot of analysis and we can do all those type of things. There's nothing more. Personal connection. God is speaking into your life. So yes, 2017, 2018. How are we going to start 2018? I would like to start 2018 on my knees. And put God first. When Jesus was also speaking in Matthew 6, He said, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. They are seeking things which they think is important. We've got to seek God's face. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is the day of its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And the word seeking, I'm trying to pronounce it in the Hebrew word thaite, it means to worship God. And that's what we've been doing as well. We worship God. We're seeking God's face. We've been saying it this morning with the angels and with the elders. We're going to fall down on our knees. We've been saying it a little bit earlier as well on the throne room. When we come to the throne room, we cast our crowns off. We throw everything away. But it's giving us any status in this world. We just want to humble ourselves. We just want to seek God's face. We just want to put Him first in our lives. And we want to worship Him. And we better practice everything because we're going to be free to anything. So we better equip ourselves a little bit in that side. And then also, the kingdom of God means also a spiritual realm. Because in a spiritual realm as well, God has given us authority that we can use. And it is not only the things that we see, but it's the spiritual connection that we make with the Father, which is very important. So coming back again, my plan for 2018 is going to be on my knees. So I thought a little bit about it, about planning work and worship plan, and I changed it a little bit and made my own one over there. But my plan is to seek God, and to seek God's plan for me. That's what I want to do in 2018. Normally at this time, after I concluded more or less, I'm asking people to stand. But today I'm going to ask, kneel along with me, if you can ask the Father, show us, what are His plans for us? If you can start over here, practicing, exercising on our knees, approaching the Father, seeking His face. So I'm going to pray this now, and then after the prayer I'm going to ask if it is possible that we can sing. How many worship songs are we still in? 5, 3, 2, 2. I've been reduced to 2. We're going to have 2 worship songs. And then I feel that afterwards, if possible, you're going to seek somebody who you really do not know and going to pray. And then you're going to expect that the Father is going to give you something in your heart that you can speak in the other person's life. Part of the plan, whatever it may be. That's you. That's that. Showing that you are important in my life, Father. And I want you to be important in my life. The most important thing in my life. Because it has got eternal value. And Father, I pray as I'm on my knees and I humble myself, that you're going to reveal your plans that you've got for me. That you're going to reveal it to me. And I can see how you want to use me, Father. Because it's like with that cross, the long leg that is the most important one. It's the relationship that I've got with you, Father. Out of that one runs the horizontal one. That is the relationship that I've got with the other people around me. And the relationship with you, Father, is solid. Then I can receive and I can give to other people around me. Then I can reflect your glory to the people around me. Father, I want to come. I want to start 2018 on my knees. I'm asking for your plan. Reveal it to us, Father. To your daughter, to your son. Pray it in Jesus' name.
ocean, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion.
What you do.